So in addition to all of the technical glitches that we had, I was given a list a couple weeks ago about students in all my classes that may or may not be ready for the class. And that is to say, there are prerequisites that you have had to have met now. That said, I can't see all your records. I just can't. I don't know where they are, but they're somewhere lost and magical. I don't know if you have the Ethernet connections somewhere. Anyway, so I'm going to run through what you should have under your belt by the time you get here. And the first is, if you've enrolled at BRCC in Reading 91 or Developmental Reading 91, you should have earned at least a C. Or if when you came to the school you took the Compass Reading Proficiency Exam, you should have gotten at least a score of 80, or earned the score of 18 on the dreaded ACT Reading, or 350 on the SAT Verbal. That said, a lot of you are transfer students, and your transcripts are not loaded, or there are a couple of people who've already taken things like Introduction to Literature or English Composition. If you've done that and you've succeeded, I think you're going to be fine. The point is that we do read in history, right? And we read texts that require critical thinking skills that you might not have if you haven't been thinking about how to read or what to look for when you read. Specifically, in this course, we read primary sources. Are you guys familiar with what those are? Have you worked with them? Primary sources? First-hand accounts, beautiful. These are texts written by people who were at an event, witnessed an event, caused an event, or they could be something else, cultural artifacts, things like music, movies, those types of things that make a statement of a time period from a certain perspective. Those are primary sources. And so, for example, in this class, we will be reading speeches by Dr. King. During his time in his capacity as a civil rights leader. He's pretty accessible to us, right? We know who he was roughly. We know what he wanted. We know that he's one of the most brilliant orators maybe ever. So we can get him. But if I give you a text from someone by the name of, let's say, Leonard Peltier, have you heard of him? You know who he is? Any ideas? A little bit more of my background, I grew up in South Dakota. I did not stay there. But I grew up in South Dakota, and so I grew up around a bunch of Lakota Sioux kids. And I grew up during a period in American history that the American Indian movement was quite active. And Leonard Peltier lived on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and in 1975 defended Oglala Sioux territory by killing two FBI agents. And there's a movie that's been made about it called Incident at Oglala, but Leonard Peltier still is in federal prison. He's serving two consecutive life sentences for the murder of these two FBI agents. He writes a lot. The American Indian movement, even though it's kind of defunct, they write a lot. So if I give you a text by someone with this name, Leonard Peltier, you might not have any idea who he is. And so reading for this class requires a little bit above and beyond. Does that make sense? Any questions so far? All right. If you don't meet any of these prerequisites, please come see me or email me and just let me know and we'll figure something out. If you need a history course this term for Gen Ed, we'll make it happen. Absolutely, we'll make it happen. Right? Good. So today, I'm not going to keep you the whole time. We're going to run through three important things I want to address. And the first is, what do we study in this course? And kind of a question that's married to that is, why should we study history at all? The second is where you come into this. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to get out of it? Because again, I'm not going to fool myself. I know for many of you, this is a general education requirement. You're not here because you're dying to learn about American history. So I want to talk briefly about how you fit into this course. And then, of course, I want to address how the course works practically, what we do, what the requirements are, and so on and so forth. So those three things I want to cover today. So first of all, what do we study in the course? Right. American history, 1865 to the present. What is magical about the year 1865? end of the Civil War and the beginning of Reconstruction. So we start our examination at a time when the Civil War has ended. We have a reunited United States. Theoretically, everything's awesome. It is so complicated. It is so complicated. But that's where we start. And then we go up to, theoretically, 2012. It's really hard for us to get to the year 2012. We might end around the year 1970, maybe 1980, if we're lucky, because there's a lot to cover. We do live in a very diverse landscape, very complicated set of stories. So we'll see how far we go. So that's what we do. And I know everyone's kind of wondering, why should we study history at all? I'm assuming a lot of you probably had American history in high school, right? Some of you are shaking your head yes. Some of you are shaking your head yes, like, please don't talk about it. It was trauma. If you just ended there, would you be happy? Like, were you guys eager to sign up for another history course? You were? Good. I'm glad to hear it. You're shaking your head no, though. Yeah. Good. Oh, excellent. Okay. So we have some history aficionados. But I know for a lot of people, history in high school, God, right? I never really liked that, honestly. I didn't really, I don't know, the dates and the names. And I would fantasize in class about ripping my eyeballs out with a rusty spoon rather than memorizing more dates. And no, I was not emo. That was before emo. It was emo. But it's definitely something that I think until you're actually out of school a little bit, you don't get appreciation for why history is important. But why would history be a general education requirement? What does it offer you? Nice. Absolutely. It's the background of how we interact with each other today, why we do what we do today. What else? Absolutely. Absolutely. Technology hugely impacts the way any state works, especially in militaries, right? Or if we think about longevity, how long people live, that's directly as a result of certain aspects of technological advancements. Anything else? Any other reasons? History repeats itself, and we're supposed to learn from it and not make these mistakes over and over. Absolutely. So it's good to have kind of a common language of this broader experience that we all go through day to day. So that's one argument. There are other arguments that, as a social historian, again, that I'm very keen on. And one is the idea that we actually have an ethical obligation to listen to stories from the past so that the human experience is, in fact, meaningful. Our being here matters, right? And I think in our age, especially with Facebook and everyone's digital, and sometimes, really, you're anonymous 98% of your life, you feel like. And that can't be. That can't be. I don't buy that. I don't believe it. So I really believe that we should learn from others' experiences in the past. So, you know, you're probably sitting here and looking at me and still, you know, thinking, that's nice. That's really nice. But I want to go into nursing. I want to go into business. So, what? And that's a good question. So what? Who cares? Why does this matter? History at BRCC is taught in the social sciences, and one of the main questions you can ask in social science is literally, who cares? Right? So there's this guy at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation who doesn't want FBI agents anywhere near him. And I still got to see Britney Spears 3 years ago, right? It doesn't matter, or does it, right? What does it shape? What does it influence? But if, for example, you're going into, I don't know, what are you studying? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry? Nursing. Why should you care about American history? Any ideas? How is it going to, what is it going to do for you? Don't know. Anyone else?
Sciences where it's just like going to nothing, where we all come from.
good.
What's going on?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And it's these bigger kind of mechanical things that we don't think about when we think about American history. It is definitely, it informs how we understand present sets of information. But the reading skills you use here, the skills you use to make connections between events and people, that's important in nursing, that's important in technology, that's important in business, that's important in any discipline you study. It's a bigger skill set. And once you kind of get into history and move beyond writing about the life of George Washington or something like that, there's a real grace and a real elegance to making connections between why does George Washington's life matter, right? Or like, why is his crossing the Delaware a crowning moment for him? What does that mean for American history? And those are the kind of connections that we'll be making in this course. And they're transferable skills. So it is, I would like to think it's really helpful and important. So it's not going to be wasting your time at all. And even if you've had history before, history is never the same story twice. Russians used to say that a lot in the Politburo, right? The kind of communist state, like we can rewrite history at the drop of a hat. And we know it happens a lot, right? So it's going to be fun, I hope. I don't know. So the next thing I want to address then is how the course works, right? So we've talked about what we're studying, why we're here, how you might fit into it, what you might gain from it, and next we have to think about how the course works on a day-to-day basis. So this is where it gets super fun. We do read. We read primary sources, and we also read a textbook. And this is our textbook, and I went over to the bookstore. There's about 8 million of these over there. This is a new book for this semester. We've never used this book at BRCC. It's Alan Brinkley's American History, the 14th edition from McGraw-Hill. So you do need to buy the books. That said, there's another component to it, though, and let's talk about options for buying the book. Because for the first time in BRCC's history, buying the book on Amazon new is more expensive than buying it at the bookstore, which is kind of interesting. And I don't know if you guys can read all these numbers all the way in the back. If you buy the book new from the bookstore, it's $107. If you buy it used, it's $80. And both of those come bundled with what's called a Connect code, because there's a technological component that you access through our Blackboard site that you use for assignments and other things. And so you do need this code. But if you don't want to spend $80 on a used book with the code, there's other options. You can buy for about $75, it's called Connect Plus from McGraw-Hill directly. If you go online and Google McGraw-Hill and then find the name of the book, Connect Plus has an e-book plus that Connect package, and that is the one disadvantage, of course, you cannot sell back the e-book, right? And if you're a person who likes to highlight or doodle or touch your book, the e-book might not be for you. Or you can buy a used book online. You know, I found a 13th edition, right? So we are using technically the 14th edition, but if you use a 13th edition, I found one online for about $14 at barnesandnoble.com. And you can buy that plus shipping and then buy the Connect code, and then your total out-of-pocket for the course would be about $48. So there's options. So think, yep, that's it, yeah. 90 cents, awesome. So then all you have to do is buy the Connect code for 30, and you spent, what, $32? Something like that, $31, that's awesome. So do what's best for you. I know that we all have budget issues. So, and as students, and I know also, by the way, a lot of you, I know that your financial aid packages have not yet come through, so I know it's extra tight. This time of the academic year is always the worst for money. I get it. So if you have trouble finding the book reasonably, let me know. I'm not exactly sure how I can help, but let me know and we'll figure something out. So any questions so far? Okay, so the book has a technological component that you need a computer for, right? And the technological component is called Kinect, and you need some type of a code. So fundamentally, though, you need internet so that you can access Blackboard. And one big important thing, in addition to all the other important things that you guys are learning about right now, is that as of last Friday, all of our Blackboard logins have changed. So check your student email, and I think there's a blog right now, entry for BRC. I don't know. I have no idea where it is. I've heard there's a blog. Check your student email for your new Blackboard login information. Oh, it does? Oh, it does? On the main page or something? Okay. So if you go to mybrcc.edu, thank you, you'll get all your information on how to log in. So the our Blackboard site is up and running, which is good, but you do need definitely to have internet. So if you don't have it at home, I would suggest using any of the computers on campus. That, of course, means manage your time, right, because they're not open 24/7. So any questions so far? Okay, fair enough. I'm just going to, if you've ever been on the internet, this should be a no-brainer, right? There's a URL that I posted on our Blackboard site that gets you to Kinect, and you click on it. You register for an account, right? You give your email address, and then you either enter in the code that you've purchased or you buy a new one online. And if you buy a new one online, you're asked if you want Kinect or Kinect Plus, and the Kinect Plus has the ebook, right? So the first option is $30. The second option is about $75, right? And then you'll be asked to fill out a registration form, and you go to Kinect, and then the heavens will open, the angels will sing, and all of that stuff, and you'll be able to see the course. Right? Any questions on that? It should be really straightforward. If not, I'm going to post this on our Blackboard site as well, so if you have more questions, you can go back and look at it at your leisure. And, of course, bookmark if you have to. Technically, you should not have to bookmark anything with Kinect because it's paired with our course in Blackboard. Really, all you need is our Blackboard course. So, all right. We've talked about the book. We talked about getting online. And now we should talk about the syllabus because the syllabus is also posted on Blackboard. So I have to get out of this for a second and pull this up. The syllabus is under content on Blackboard, and what you see, of course, is first my information. I prefer email as a main means of communication. I try to respond to emails within 24 hours, Monday through Friday, and if you email me on a Saturday or Sunday, it might be 24 hours, or you might get a response on Monday, depending on my mood. Because believe it or not, I've actually decided I need days off. So Saturdays, I have a puppy, and we do lots of things. He does, and I just yell a lot. That's basically what we do. So I might not turn on the computer on a Saturday or Sunday. That's my goal, actually. So, but otherwise, come see me in my office. I'm here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7 to 8, 9 to 10, 11 to 12, and then Thursdays, 1:30 to 2:30. If those times don't work with you and you need to meet at a different time, email me and we'll figure something out. So the book information is on the syllabus as our learning outcomes that we've briefly touched upon. If you need accommodations in this class for a note taker or any other kind of accommodation, please go to Disability Services soon. I think they're one of the few offices on campus that are not horrendously backlogged. And in my experience, at least, they've always been really, really pleasant to deal with. So that might be a nice change. I don't know. So I'm just saying. But the information for the Office of Disability Services is listed on here as well. Something that's very important in this class, then, and something that's very important in terms of community college also, is professionalism. And one of the aspects of professionalism is that I do not accept late work. I'm giving you today all of the due dates for all the work, for every quiz we have, for every paper we're going to be writing, and I don't accept late work. That said, please remember, if you know you're going to be missing a deadline because you have jury duty or because you have a sick family member or because you have training for work that you absolutely cannot miss, let me know beforehand. Right? I get it. We're all very busy and we have a million obligations. I don't want you to feel like this is a huge albatross. This should be something that is enjoyable. And the fact is there are rules. And just let me know at least 24 hours before a deadline if you know you're going to miss it. We all get sick. I hope none of us get arrested this term. I hope none of us end up in a car wreck on Interstate 10 this term. And I'm not speaking personally. What are these looks for? but anyway, just let me know in advance. If you miss an assignment, it becomes a zero if I don't hear from you beforehand. So the way it breaks down is I have a point system, and these points they're not strict points. So, for example, participation and attendance is worth 10 points in the class. We obviously meet more than 10 times, right? But 10% of your grade, essentially, is participation and attendance. That means when you come to class, be prepared, have your reading done, be ready to talk. We have the Learn Smart modules. These are the things on Connect. Basically, they're questions you answer to reinforce ideas from the reading, and it's meant to help you, not hurt you. There's a quiz every single week, and these quizzes, again, they're not multiple choice, not dates and names. It's more of me checking in with you to see what you're thinking about a topic. If we've been talking about the Vietnam conflict, I might ask you to tell me your understanding of the My Lai massacre, something like that, right? And the trick to this is there's no right or wrong answer in history. If it's not multiple choice, it's essay, it's short answer, there's no right or wrong answer. You have to be able to justify your observation or your claim, though, with something factual. So, for example, if you wrote for the History Channel and you were writing a story about the Mayans and how aliens settled the Mayan community, I don't really know if that's factual. I don't really know. But if you want to talk about Watergate, and you go online and you read something from Library of Congress, or you listen to some of the audio tapes from President Nixon's office, and you have an opinion based on that fact, based on that occurrence, you're fine. Does that make sense? So no one should ever fail the course, and don't ever be afraid of the weekly quizzes, because if you're prepared for class, you're fine. That's it. And I should mention, also being prepared for class, budget your time. I always tell students to plan 5 to 6 hours a week in the beginning. You might not need all that time. I know some people read very quickly, and I know some students are like, I only have to spend 2 hours a week on this class. And if that's you, awesome. But make sure you think through your time budget, at least for the first couple of weeks, that you'll make some time. We also write response papers to primary sources, and again, this is on the premise that you've read the textbook, so you know where the source kind of comes from. You've read someone's, let's say, eyewitness statement of an event, and you respond to that, and I'll give you questions. And those are typically 2 to 3 pages, double-spaced, so hopefully they're not too terrible. It's not like a big research paper, but does that make sense? Any questions so far? There are 2 exams, midterm and a final, and these are posted on Blackboard well in advance of the due date, and they're essay exams. You're given a bunch of primary sources again, and it's very similar to the primary source response papers. So take advantage of the papers as kind of training for the midterm and final exam. All of this work is to be posted onto Blackboard. I would like to minimize the trees that get slaughtered for thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of paper that we go through each and every academic year. And posting on Blackboard is highly preferential. Hi. That's okay. To help you out more, I have some guidelines for you for what I'm looking for. Because I know sometimes you feel like you've been thrown to some ratty set of wolves, and it, you know, doesn't feel good the minute you start to type something up. So for writing, I've given just kind of a general idea of what I'm looking for. I have the same kind of guideline going for class participation, what I'm hoping to see for an outstanding contributor or a good contributor. So spend some time looking at this in the syllabus so you have an idea of why, if all of a sudden you have zeros for participation, why that might be. And obviously, if that happens, come talk to me as well, because no one should fail. I don't want anyone to fail. That's not why I'm here. I do ask that when we are together, though, to turn off cell phones. And I don't, on your screens right now, can you see this? Is this popping up on these stealth little things? I've never talked in this building, so are they just black right now? Is it just dead screen? Oh, the home. Oh, okay. Oh, so you're online? Oh, the computer's on too. Okay. I don't know. Because I know at some schools I taught in a classroom that they all had internet and it was like whatever. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. But I know, again, that we are all adults. And if you have a family member in surgery or your kids' daycare calls or whatever, you know, I get it. But just please, no texting constantly, no looking at the phone. If it rings and it's an emergency, please go out in the hallway. Set it to vibrate or whatever so it doesn't interrupt class. I have a lot in here then about computer stuff, you know, keeping your login accessible. This semester, it seems like we all have 8 million passwords. So, I don't know, write it down somewhere. I have information for the help desk. If you need to call the help desk for help, hopefully they do help. But also think about a plan B for the fact that we know electricity goes out, your computer crashes, you know that's going to happen. It always happens. So think about, find out the hours of when computer labs around campus are open, have it kind of know like when you might be able to go do that. Maybe you have a friend who has a computer, and let's say worst case scenario, internet for everyone's down, but your friend has a printer that you can use. I will, in the worst case scenario, take printed work. But just start to think now about what to do in case the apocalypse happens and we all survive the rapture. The deadlines are still applicable. So, any questions so far? Comments? No one's running out of the room screaming, so I guess we're still okay. I also have a lot of information on here for other resources that you can get besides me. God knows I don't know anything really. But if you need help writing or you need help, there are tutors available in the Writing Center, and I have a link to the various tutors that are available on campus for free. Also on Blackboard, there's this little function that's new as of last semester called Smart Thinking. And if you want to get a response to a draft for one of your papers, you can electronically submit a paper to Smart Thinking, and a nameless, faceless tutor will get back to you within 24 hours and tell you what they think of your paper. And again, it's free. So take advantage of all of these things. Writing is the hardest thing you can do. And I know we've all been through hard stuff in our life. Writing is hard. And it's the only way it gets easier is to do it, to get feedback, and keep doing it. And no matter what you're looking to go into, at some point you have to write for your career. Like, even if it's just a note as to why you're going to be gone or something, being able to write clearly and well is very important. So, And again, there's no late work. I have a statement here on cheating, plagiarism, safety concerns, sign up for first call. And then, finally, we get to why we're here. And this is the schedule for our workload. Take some time to look at this also, again, so that mentally you can start to balance and budget your schedules. This week, I have on Friday at 11 p.m., the first Learn Smart module due as an optional extra credit assignment. So if you want to start out the semester with an extra credit point, you can do it. If you don't, it's not going to count against you. I realized after I put the syllabus together that, again, many of you might not have the money literally right now to buy the book. So I will extend the deadline on this, but if you want to just kind of start to get the hang of it, by 11 p.m. on Friday, August 24th, the first optional extra credit is due. And going forward, I have other work due, again, 11 p.m. on Thursdays. We meet Tuesday, Thursday, so I have everything due 11 p.m. on Thursdays. And again, that's for the idea, give you every opportunity to get your work done. If you come to class on Thursday and I remind you you've got stuff due tonight, you don't have to say, ugh, right? You can run home really quickly and get it done. But everything is announced here. I also give you all the days of our quizzes, all the days that papers are going to be due, when we have the midterm, when we have the final. So it goes all the way through to the end. And the final is going to be due on December 4th by noon. So, any questions about the syllabus? Okay, all right, fair enough. So we'll go back to this. All right, so what have we done? We've talked about the prereqs that you need, and again, if you don't have them, come talk to me. You need to buy the book. You need to make sure that you can get online consistently. And we talked about why we're here. We talked about syllabus.